the ride. At least I'm enjoying the ride. Yeah.
And now more Operation Freedom. Freedom. With your host, Dr. Dave Janda, on Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse, Wham! Talk 1600. Call Dave now at 822-1600. That's 734-822-1600.
Welcome back to Operation Freedom, folks. I'm Dr. Dave Janda, broadcasting from our Freedom Bunker here at Wham! Talk 1600. I'm very, very proud and happy to have back with me our next guest, Dane Wigington. I must say, every time I have Dane on the show, I get a lot of feedback, a lot of it positive, but I also get a lot of folks saying, I can't put my head around this. I can't put my arms around this. I think that a lot of the video evidence that Dane is talking about, he probably doesn't realize it, but I think it's made up. I don't think it's truthful. I just can't believe this. He's an incredibly articulate scientific individual who I was actually led to by someone, a very high-ranking individual in the United States military, who I guess you could consider him a whistleblower, who contacted me and said, Dave, you need to get Dane on your show because the information he's presenting is fairly scary, but it's actually very accurate. Folks, Dane has a background in solar energy. He is the former employee of Bechtel Power Corp and has a background in renewable energy. His personal residence was featured in a cover article in the world's largest renewable energy magazine, Home Power. He also owns a large wildlife preserve next to Lake Shasta in Northern California. Folks, Dane put all of his focus, efforts, energy into geoengineering when he began to lose very significant amounts of solar uptake due to his ever-increasing solar obscuration caused by jet aircraft spraying in the skies above his forest home. He also noted significant decline in forest health was occurring and appeared to be accelerating. Dane instituted extensive testing and research into the geoengineering issue, which was commenced and has continued since 2002. He is lead researcher at a great website. I learn something from his website every day that I go to it, geoengineeringwatch.org, geoengineeringwatch.org. Dane has investigated all levels of geoengineering, from stratospheric aerosol geoengineering, so-called SAG, S-A-G, to HAARP, H-A-A-R-P, not the musical instrument, but a notorious entity that is adversely affecting life on our planet. And in particular, if you also go to our interviews with Dr. Nick Begich, you will also get a earful about what HAARP is doing. Dane has appeared in numerous films and radio interviews to educate the public on the extremely dire environmental and health dangers we face on a global level from geoengineering. Dane, welcome back to Operation Freedom.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks for your willingness to continue trying to sound the alarm on this incredibly critical issue.
So, Dane, again, we have thousands of new listeners around the world that listen, tune in over the internet as well as over our radio waves here locally and regionally and nationally. Educate our listeners again, because I think this is important from a foundational standpoint, Dane. What is geoengineering? And educate our listeners on the effect it is having on each and every one of our listeners.
Geoengineering is the science term for climate engineering and otherwise trying to alter the biosphere on a global scale. There's multiple aspects of geoengineering, including, for example, ocean iron fertilization, the attempt to force the ocean to uptake some of the CO2 that's in the atmosphere. So in a nutshell, Dave, this is an attempt by the human race to play God with the weather, with Earth's life support systems. And understandably, when you interfere with such natural systems, you get a very bad result. And this involves, in the case of climate engineering, saturating the atmosphere with light-scattering particles as part of what's termed solar radiation management, the stated attempt to try to block some of the sun's incoming thermal radiation. Again, these particles are toxic. Aluminum is one of the main particles. We all know how toxic that is, or we should if we don't. And not surprisingly, when you take such drastic action, although they can and are reducing the daytime highs in many regions, and with chemical ice nucleation, they can create short-term toxic chemical cooldowns, but you also trap a significant amount of thermal energy, you destroy the ozone layer, you disrupt the hydrological cycle and you toxify virtually everything on the ground. So for those who don't believe this is going on, and I emphasize the term believe, there's nothing to believe. When we have film footage of it happening, when we have congressional documents, military documents, patents, we have governments around the globe, and I would ask people to just challenge their sense of reason, and I'll give this back to you. When we have the top military leaders in the U.S. military stating the climate disintegration is the greatest national security threat of all, we have historical data proving the U.S. military has been intervening with the weather on a very significant scale since at least 1945. We have governments around the globe stating that climate engineering they see as their only way to keep, quote, business as usual. We have every scientific institution on the globe talking about this issue but not admitting to it. At this point, the elephant in the room is so massive that those who don't want to, quote, believe it's going on are simply in denial. It's that simple.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Dane. I'll tell you, I had been a skeptic for a number of years about it until I was contacted by this individual in the United States military and until I actually started to look at the science. I have a chemistry degree by background, a scientific background, in addition to my MD degree, and I can tell you that looking at the information that are in the Senate documents, that are in the documents that you produce on your website, geoengineeringwatch.org, I felt really bad that I hadn't actually jumped on this longer and harder years ago. Because this has been going on for decades, Dane.
It has. And this is where the really criminal betrayal of the climate science community needs to be looked at and acknowledged. And when we have the segment of society and that society depends on to inform them of such dangers that are, again, criminally betraying that society, how should we treat that? And when we have programs that have been going on since the mid-40s, the geoengineering card has been played. There is no other option. And that the implementation of geoengineering had a profound cooling effect on the planet initially from 1945 to about 1975. In fact, so much so, Dave, that the climate science community by the mid-70s was perplexed at this lack of increased warming that all signs said should have kept happening. They were engineering over the poles initially, the most heavy. So once the negative effects kick in, as you always have, just like, again, the pharmaceutical cure for the human body, it might hide the symptoms for a while, but ultimately does far more harm than good. Same scenario here. And the military-industrial complex only knows how to keep doubling down. And all the while, with 70 years of this going on, 70-plus years, we have the entire circle of academia pretending it's not happening because their jobs depend on them continuing to toe that deception. And at some point, I hope that there's Nuremberg-type trials to hold all those responsible in the media and academia who have helped to hide these crimes.
Well, let's talk about who is responsible, Dane, because I think that that's part of the crux of this. Who is the who's the top of the pyramid on this? Who's calling the shot, do you believe?
Well, I think if we examine the data, again, we wouldn't have to go from beliefs. We can say conclusively that all roads lead back to the central bankers, all of them. That's who starts wars. That's who funds and fuels both sides of wars. So that's where the top of the pyramid lies. As far as countries involved, we have conclusively proof to indicate that all the major powers are involved. They all know this is going on. You have some non-major powers stating on the record this is happening, but of course, corporate media won't let those stories filter through. We have the president of Iran and other officials in Iran stating on the record their countries were being droughted out, subjected to record-shattering drought by NATO weather modification programs, but those stories don't make the news, in certainly in the U.S. and most other countries. So we have a long, long history of weather being used as a weapon of war. We have so many examples that we wouldn't even begin to touch on them. And for example, let me give a few recent instances. In 2010, Pakistan began to show resistance to U.S. policy, and almost immediately 20% of their country was found underwater. I mean, record-shattering floods. 2011, Thailand refused a weather modification base for the U.S. military, and they were told it was a weather monitoring base, but the Thai government certainly knew what it was about. Record flooding there immediately. Slovenia, record ice storm, 6 inches of ice. Nothing like this has ever happened. Slovenia was slaughtered when they showed resistance to some EU policy. I could go on and on. When we have instances like Cyclone Haiyan, you remember the major hurricane that cut a swath through the Philippines in 2014?
Yes.
That very anomalously strengthened the strongest landfall ever. Hurricanes normally weaken when they move over land.
Right.
And we know these capabilities exist with the ionosphere heaters to strengthen the low-pressure rotations. Is it a coincidence that after that happened, the U.S. moved in under, quote, humanitarian pretext and began setting up bases there immediately? What I'm saying is, if you look at military documents like Owning the Weather, I encourage any of your listeners to look that up, Owning the Weather, U.S. military documents stating their desired objective of using the weather as a, quote, force multiplier. Why wouldn't they do this? Why would we think that they wouldn't utilize these systems as a covert weapon of war?
So many people say, okay, and I must say, Dane, in speaking on several occasions to this general who initially contacted me, I asked him that same question, and he gave me the same answer of who was really behind this. So then the question comes up, do these criminal banking syndicate that's behind all this, do they not think this is going to affect them as well and their families?
Well, this question always comes up for people, and it's a means by which many people try to excuse this issue and walk away. And to those people, I would again point out how many examples of what they have done to themselves do we already have? From the detonation of over 2,000 nuclear bombs to incidences like the Macondo oil spill and the effort right now to frack everything in the country, poisoning groundwater forever, using groundwater wells to pump poisonous toxins in to hide it. We have governments or part of government institutions around our country allowing the fracking companies to pump their toxic waste back into the groundwater. We have, instance after instance with nuclear power. We have Fukushima that may kill us all right now, and now there's a massive push to implement more nuclear power in the U.S. There's some 60 plants on the books right now to be built. There's no sanity in this equation. Those who crave power have a lust that can never be satisfied. I mean, that should be clear by now. And so for people who use that as an excuse, Dave, that the proverbial they would never do this to themselves, it's just business as usual. They don't care about the consequences. It's about time we realize that.
So, Dane, what do you say to the people that say, okay, if this is true, what Dane's really talking about, why aren't there people coming forward and admitting that they've been involved in this? Surely someone must have a conscience or get a conscience somewhere along the line.
Let's examine a couple examples of that. We have one instance of former Bush aide John Wheeler, who was seen outside the Pentagon in 2011, reportedly stating he was going to blow the whistle on these programs. He was found in a landfill 2 days later.
That's true.
We have also, right now, we have government scientists have no First Amendment protection. We need to realize that right now. They have none. And now, on top of that, we have all National Weather Service and NOAA scientists with a illegal federal gag order on all of them. We have the Obama administration, who has prosecuted more whistleblowers than all other administrations combined.
Mm-hmm.
We simply don't have a lot of people willing to sign up for that. And we don't know who may have tried to blow a whistle already or how many, because perhaps they never made it very far given the total monitoring of everyone in this country, the illegal monitoring. So for those who want to pretend that we would have some big line full of whistleblowers trying to clear their conscience, that's not really reality right now, is it? And even when we do have data, and we do have irrefutable data right now, we have a population that largely, unfortunately, so far, simply doesn't want to know the truth. That's the bottom line.
And that's true on so many fronts in this country and around the world, Dane. There's so many things that are wrong that I can't help but think that, you know, this being Father's Day and my dad's generation, who, you know, was the World War II generation, if you will, and, you know, I just can't imagine them, if they didn't know about this, would be fighting like mad to try to at least at a minimum, unearth the information and try to distribute it to as many people as possible. But could that be one of the effects of these programs, that it makes people essentially, hey, you know, laissez-faire about everything, that not to give a damn about what the hell's going on?
Now, to make such a statement, many people would roll their eyes and walk away as if that couldn't be possible. The fact is, what you just stated is, mathematically speaking, a certainty.
Yeah.
We know that we are all inhaling massive amounts of toxic heavy metals in every breath we take. We know that. We have lab tests from around the globe to prove that these metals are raining down through our air column. We have peer-reviewed study to prove the effect of these metals on cognitive function. All of us are getting dumber by the day. Whether we admit it or not is irrelevant. We have institutions like MIT, I'm sure your listeners know who MIT is, mm-hmm. telling us on the record, on the current trajectory, every other child will have autism in less than 9 years. Every other child. We've already seen an over 10,000% increase in autism in the last few decades, and now we're talking about every other child, and do we believe the non-diagnosed child is healthy? No, of course not. And so there's no speculation involved here. And why is climate engineering the single greatest threat we face? And you just hit on the nail on the head, Dave. Whatever other challenges we face, Fukushima, the power structure about to start World War III, collapsing environment on many fronts, and much of that, by the way, related to climate engineering, if we can't think clearly, mm-hmm. how will we stand up any challenge? How mm-hmm. will any of us? 1 in 3 seniors in the U.S. now dies with Alzheimer's and or autism, not from it, but with it. And I know personally the North States, California, top neurologist who is alarmed completely beyond what he will share publicly at this point, at the amount of his patients that are becoming cognitively dysfunctional. This is not speculation. So if we're to make a difference, if we're to have any chance to change courses right now, people need to face reality, starting with exposing the single and most immediate threat that you can't hide from anywhere, and that's the fact that our environment's being torn apart from climate engineering, and every breath we take is being toxified, everything we eat is absorbing these materials. This is an all-out fight for life, Dave.
You know, Dane, whenever I look up in the sky, I think of you. And you think about the composition. As a chemist, I think about what is this composition of these chemtrails? Because the deniers of this, and it's fine to deny, but you got to also research if you're going to deny, right? Because there are a lot of folks that deny it, but Dane, when I kind of push him about what research have they done into this, not so much. So let's talk about the composition of these chemtrails. What are we looking at up there when we see this checkerboard pattern in the sky?
Well, I lost you off air there for a second, but in regard to those who deny, I want to state something on the record. Those who deny should understand their denial will not save them. What's happening is real. It's immediate. So the denial won't hold water for much longer. As far as the composition of the spraying, we know the primary heavy metals of aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese, all metals named in climate engineering patents. And if I may, Dave, to marry the particular toxins with what we see in vaccinations, for example, mm-hmm. let's ask ourselves, is this a coincidence? We know mercury is in vaccinations, mercury is in our mouth from amalgam fillings. We know we're inhaling aluminum with every breath now. Mm-hmm. What happens when you mix these metals together? You get synergistic toxicity. Mm-hmm. So in the case of aluminum and mercury, we have peer-reviewed study to prove when you combine those two metals, the overall toxicity increases as much as 10,000%. That's 100 times worse. So is it a coincidence that we're exposed to both of these metals, each helping each other to further penetrate the body? In the case of the aluminum, it helps fluoride to cross the blood-brain barrier, adding to the symptoms I mentioned earlier. We're swimming in a toxic soup, and we're not going to be very functional for a whole lot longer if we don't face reality, starting with stopping what's poisoning our breathable air column. How long can people hold their breath? Help us to expose this issue, and everyone can make a difference, Dave, if they simply passed on credible data to others and not ranted wildly with speculation that they're not familiar with. Pass on credible data. Help us to sound the alarm.
So when our listeners start talking about this with their family members and their friends, they're going to get a little bit of the evil eye, and they have to realize that it's going to happen. And one of the things that their friends and relatives and friends will say is, well, you know, that's just a – and I want to address this, Dane, because this is the number one thing that comes up when I hear from my listeners, that they're confronted with this not right off the bat. What you're seeing is not a chemical mix, a soup, this neurotoxin soup that's been created that's fallen down upon us. But it's really just exhaust from the airplanes.
I would have them respond this way. If this is quote, we have film footage, for example, of people in Arctic temperatures 60, 70 below, colder than where these aircraft are normally flying at. Do you see such people when their breath is condensing? Do you see them a mile down the street or down wherever they're at in the Arctic or Antarctic and have a cloud hanging behind them? Condensation does not behave that way. And when we have film footage of these aircraft spraying at altitude, turning on and off, you can't turn a condensation trail on and off. This is not condensation. And I would encourage those people to go to Geoengineering Watch, look at our high bypass turbofan jet engine tutorial, and they can see why the jet engine mounted on all commercial aircraft and all military tankers by design is nearly incapable of creating any condensation trail except under the most extreme circumstances, because it's a jet-powered fan. 85% of the air that moves through it is non-combusted. We also have photographs of the nozzles mounted on the pylons, retrofit nozzles that dump right into the exhaust stream to make this look like, quote, condensation. So again, can't turn condensation trails on and off. Don't need nozzles behind engines if you're not spraying something. High bypass turbofan engine, nearly incapable of creating any condensation trail. And global dimming, which is a scientific term of how much of the sun's direct energy is no longer reaching the surface of the planet. It's about 30%. That's how I got into this, Dave, from my background in solar, blocking my solar power. So you can't have all these factors unless something is being sprayed into the atmosphere, and that's exactly what's happening. That's the goal of solar radiation management.
So to the whistleblower, the general who came to me, he had previously been in charge of and running weather recon for the Air Force. And I said, General, to those listeners, if I speak about this on air, if they come back and they said, no, those are really jet contrails, they're not chemtrails, what would you say to them? And his response is, Dave, there is no doubt about it. They are not contrails. They are, in fact, real chemtrails, end quote.
People need to exercise their sense of reason. You can't have grid patterns in the sky one day and nothing the next with similar atmospheric conditions. This is absolutely, positively, undeniably going on, has been going on for a very long time. Again, 750-page congressional documents, presidential documents. We have so much data posted at geoengineeringwatch.org. We don't sell anything. We're non-political. We're simply trying to sound the alarm. And for those who think that they can deny this issue and escape its consequences, you're sadly mistaken. The ship is going down now. The single greatest environmental assault, the single greatest human health assault on the planet today is climate engineering, period. That's why it should be, must be, our top priority to expose and stop, period.
Dane, the people that fly these aircraft know exactly what they're doing, correct?
I would argue they can't not know. If they don't know, they're unqualified to fly that aircraft to start with.
Are they being told that they might be doing some good rather than doing harm?
Absolutely. In the case of military, that is the compartmentalization is why so much of this is happening. They're being lied to.
Dane, how can folks follow you?
Geoengineeringwatch.org. We hope we're a resource for everyone to use to help sound the alarm on this issue.
Dane, I thank you. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for all your efforts, because I know you put yourself and your life in harm's way by speaking about this issue. Folks,
no other choice.
geoengineering.watch.org. Folks, you're listening to Operation Freedom. I'm Dr. Dave Janda, broadcasting from our Freedom Bunker here at WAM Talk 1600.